This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man ittaba'a hudah amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tonight's talk, inshallah, as Brother Hurairah mentioned, will be about Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu represents the generations of Islam from childhood to teenager to a young man and to an old man also living and practicing Islam. Ali radiallahu anhu was the first one to accept Islam from the youth. And scholars differed whether he was actually before Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu or after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. There is a narration in Jami' al-Tirmidhi states that Ali radiallahu anhu said, the wahi came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Monday, and on Tuesday I was with him accepting Islam. I was the first one. So, Ali radiallahu anhu, throughout his life, throughout his seerah, gave us many practical examples where we could benefit. And this is what I will be trying to talk about. You want to read about his biography, you can open any book of seerah and you can read. You open any website talking about the life of Ali radiallahu anhu, and you can read the events. How can that inspire us now? How can that help us revive our ummah and improve ourselves in this time? This is what I hope to achieve tonight, inshallah. When Ali radiallahu anhu accepted Islam, he wasn't hoping for anything worldly. He wasn't asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what will be my pay? What am I going to benefit? He believed in him. And he says, actually, when my father, Abu Talib, when he saw me, I tried to hide it. I was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I tried to hide it. But he knew. So he told me to go ahead and continue with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's what I did. Now, it was mentioned that Ali radiallahu anhu married Fatima radiallahu anha. She's the only one that he married in her lifetime. After her death, Ali radiallahu anhu married another 8 women. Ali radiallahu anhu had 14 sons and 17 daughters. This is part of his life. But the ones that we know of his children mainly are Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, because those are the ones that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned and used to be with him and said that they are the leaders of the youth in Jannah. So, Ali radiallahu anhu, if you want to talk about his virtues, he is the husband of the beloved daughter of the Prophet ﷺ. He is the father of the two leaders of the youth in Jannah. He is the one that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Anta minni bi manzilati Harun min Musa." You are to me like Harun to Musa, except that you are not a messenger. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kuntu mawla fa aliun mawla." Many virtues for Ali radiallahu an. But when we talk about the virtues of Ali radiallahu an, that doesn't mean he was better than all the other companions. Every companion had unique virtues. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he gives something special to one of the companions, that does not cancel the other virtues of other companions. It's just to show how good they are. And this was the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not to mention the negative things. Oh brother, you did something wrong. No, he would mention the good things. He wants people to be positive. That's my daughter, by the way. So, Tuba, The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us many virtues about many of the companions. And why I'm mentioning this? Because we have to distinguish our belief in Ali radiallahu anhu from the belief of the Shia. There is a hadith, it's not authentic, it's weak, but in reality it is true, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, تَهْلِكُ فِيكَ طَائِفَتَانِ, two groups of people will be destroyed because of you, because of their extremism. One group, they hate you, النَّاصِبَة, and one group, they elevate you above your rank. We, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we are in the middle. We believe in the virtues of Ali radiallahu anhu. All scholars agreed that Ali radiallahu anhu is the fourth of the Khulafa, and that's his order in the virtue as well. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the best companion, then Umar, then Uthman, and then Ali. So when we mention the virtues of Ali radiallahu anhu, it's not to cancel the other virtues of the other companions. Each one had unique virtues. But of his virtues, again, is that he was married to Fatima, and Fatima radiallahu anha, she was the beloved daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she was the one, the mother of Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Sayyida Shabab Ahli Al-Jannah. Okay, now Ali radiallahu anha lived with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, believed in him in Mecca, and he endured what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam endured. He was very close to him. When the companions migrated to Abyssinia, he didn't migrate with them. He was very close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first migration, the second migration, and Ali radiallahu anhu was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until the night of the Hijrah. That's when we see a unique position for Ali radiallahu anhu. What is it? When Islam needs me, when Islam needs my sacrifice, I am here. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to sleep in his bed. There was a chance that Ali radiallahu anhu could be killed that night. How old was he? He was, according to some narrations, 23 years old. Would you be willing to give your life for the sake of Allah when you are 23 years old? Let's be honest. So Ali radiallahu anhu, he slept in the bed of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Just because he had to give back the trusts. The trusts that the kuffar kept with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The kuffar who wanted to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say, they wanted to kill me, so I will take whatever they have. No. He told Ali radiallahu anhu, stay behind me, you give back the trusts, and then you follow me. How did Ali radiallahu anhu migrate to Medina? That's another important reminder. He was walking. He didn't have an animal to ride. He didn't have a mount. He walked from Mecca to Medina. Again, why? It was all for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. I did my job. It's time for me now to catch up with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here I am. He arrived Medina. What happened? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam established the brotherhood, one from the Muhajirin and one from the Ansar, and he looked for the similar status from the Muhajirin. One was rich in Mecca, but now he lost his money. The Prophet ﷺ told him to be with one from the Ansar who is rich. They are similar, close together. Until it came to Ali radiallahu anhu, who was the brother of Ali radiallahu anhu, the Prophet ﷺ. He didn't put him with anyone from the Ansar. He was actually, the Prophet ﷺ told him, you are my brother. And that is a unique thing for Ali radiallahu anhu. Soon later, he married Fatima radiallahu anha. When we talk about Ali radiallahu anhu as the fourth Khalifa in Islam, as the first one who accepted Islam, what did he have of this dunya when he married Fatima radiallahu anha? What did he have? He had nothing. Four dirhams, which was a shield, that was the dower for Fatima radiallahu anha. Then she was given a pillow and a small mattress, and that was it. This was the possession, this was all what Ali radiallahu anhu had. I say this because we live now in a time when many people are looked at based on how much they have. Many seminars and workshops we attend and we participate where they tell us success is rated based on how much money you have, and that's not true. Ali radiallahu anhu did what he had to do. Whether he had money or he didn't have money, Islam needs me, I will be there. One unique incident I'd like to share with you. When Ali radiallahu anhu arrived Medina and he had nothing, he was in need, but he heard that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also in need. There was no food, so he went out trying to seek work. Now for you are all students, and inshallah soon you will be working, and maybe some of you have part-time job or full-time job. How much money will you be willing to take per hour? Look at what Ali radiallahu anhu was paid. And this story is reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, in Jami' al-Tirmidhi, and other books of Sunan reported it. Ali radiallahu anhu worked for a Jewish man from the Ansar to go down the well, fill the bucket with water, and come up for one date. That was the wage. That was the payment. So he got 17 dates. He said, I got the 17 dates and then I left. Can you imagine being paid in dates? Like maybe less than this plate. That's your payment. He didn't complain. He didn't say, I am the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am the first one to accept Islam from the youth. He didn't say that. As long as Allah knows about you, that's all what matters. But now we wait. Oh, how many shares on Facebook? How many followers? Let's try to be sincere as the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It doesn't matter how many people are pleased with us, how many people are following us, how many people agree with us. It is about the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ali radiallahu anhu married Fatima, and he didn't have anything. As I said, whatever job was available, he would work. Even if it was one date, he would take it. Until Fatima radiallahu anha, she's the one who complained. She came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She didn't find him. So she went back. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back, he was told that his daughter came. So he went to her. And she said, I need a servant. I'm tired. My hands are rough. Because of what? Because of work. And this is a reminder for anyone who says, my parents are rich and I am rich, why would I have to work at home? Fatima radiallahu anha, she was tired from the work. So she told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I need a servant. You are having some spoils of war. You are having some loot, some wealth. I need a servant. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell her? Shall I not inform you of something better than that? When you sleep, say Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 34 times. This is better than a servant. What did she do? Did she say, "Dad, come on"? No, she did that. And not only that, Ali radiallahu anhu also, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was telling them both. You know what Ali radiallahu anhu said? Because he was asked later, "Did you keep doing that?" He said, "Yes." Every night, he said, "Yes." Even the night of Siffin. Even the night when 70,000 Muslims were killed. That was one of the most difficult days of Ali radiallahu anhu, which I will be talking about in the second part. Let me ask you this, brothers and sisters. Do you say that every night before you sleep? Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 34 times. This is the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This will be better than a servant. When you don't have enough, when you are barely making ends meet, when you are barely paying your bills, when you feel that you are in debt, say this dhikr. Keep saying it. Ali radiallahu anhu said, "I never left it a single night, not even the night of Siffin, when he was fighting and 70,000 of the Muslims were killed between his army and the army of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu." So this was basically the life of Ali radiallahu anhu, simple life. But he ended up being the Khalifa, the leader of all Muslims. So dunya could change. One day you could be very rich, one time you could be poor, one time people could be with you, one time people could be against you. All that doesn't matter if you are with Allah Azza wa Jal. Ali radiallahu an was one of the scribes of the Wahy. He was one of the few companions who used to write and read. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entrusted him with the writing of the Wahy. And he was from the carriers of the Quran. One of the people that the successors of the companions took the Quran from. That's why almost in every chain of ijazah in the Quran, you find the name of Ali radiallahu anhu. Because from him, a lot of successors took the Quran. One of the famous ones, Abdurrahman al-Sulami, Abdurrahman ibn Habib al-Sulami radiallahu anhu. There is Suhba, or he is a successor, and many others. They took from Ali radiallahu anhu. So, in the Battle of Tabuk, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced that it is time to go for war against one of the superpowers, he kept Ali radiallahu anhu behind. Ali radiallahu anhu came and said, "O Messenger of Allah, you are keeping me with women and children." He wasn't happy. He wanted to join the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't want to be Amir, a position. What would I do with this position? I want to go with you for jihad. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "Aren't you pleased that you are so close to me, like the closeness of Harun to Musa?" So Ali radiallahu anhu was pleased. So a lot of virtues for Ali radiallahu anhu, and a lot of beautiful deeds that we could learn from. In a time now when we are busy with dunya, when we are busy with children, with families, with work, all that should not keep us from the ibadah to Allah Azza wa Jal, from the responsibilities that Allah Azza wa Jal gave us. Ali radiallahu anhu did not leave any battle except that he witnessed it with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially the Battle of Badr. And whenever there is a battle, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give his own flag to Ali radiallahu anhu. The Muslim army has a flag. One of them would take it, like Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu in Uhud, or Khalid ibn al-Walid, or anyone. But Ali radiallahu anhu would be always entrusted with the corner where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. And one time He was given the flag of all Muslims. Umar radiallahu anhu says about that one time, it was the only time I was hoping that I would be given a position of leadership. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, tomorrow I shall give the flag of the Muslims to a man whom Allah and his messenger love, and he loves Allah and the messenger. Only that time, Umar radiallahu anhu said, I hope that I would be that man. So the next day, when it came, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, where is Ali? So they said, O Messenger of Allah, he is complaining from his eyes. So he said, bring him. They brought him. And he told him, what's the matter with you? He said, I have problem with my eyes. So the Prophet ﷺ wiped on his eyes and spitted in them and prayed for him. They said, which was reported from Ali radiallahu anhu, after that, he never complained. He never got sick until he was martyred. They reported from him that he used to wear the clothes of the winter during the time of summer. And he would wear the light clothes of summer during winter. Why? He never felt heat or coolness because of the dua of the Prophet ﷺ. Just imagine, nowadays they market for superpowers, for Superman, Batman, and the justice, whatever names they have. The Prophet ﷺ prayed for Ali radiallahu anhu, and that did happen indeed. But you look at the other aspect, they were human beings just like us. They were sometimes happy, sometimes they were upset, sometimes they were disappointed, sometimes they were angry. One time the Prophet ﷺ came to visit his daughter Fatima, and he asked, where is Ali? She said, he left. I had something with him and he left angry. Those are the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ and the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ. Two of the best companions, a husband and wife, but they had an issue. It happens. It's not about whether we have issues or no. It is about how to deal with that. So he went and looked for him, and he found him in the masjid. So he found the dust covering his back. So he told him, Qum Aba Turab. So Ali radiallahu anhu said, this was the best nickname and the most beloved nickname for me, because it was the one that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave me, Abu Turab. From that time on, I love to be called Abu Turab. But the point here is what? Ali radiallahu anhu had an issue with his wife. He didn't complicate that issue. He didn't insist. Rather, he pulled himself out. He left. That's it. Until the Prophet ﷺ came and told him to go back. Ali radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet ﷺ died, he was hoping that he would be the Khalifa. Again, you would think, based on the virtues that he has, based on the relationship that he has, he is the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ, that he would be the next in line. He would be the Khalifa. But in Islam, we don't have that. Just because you are the son, or just because who your father was, you are given the position. No. Actually, Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, he told Ali radiallahu anhu, I know when death comes to Banu Abdul Muttalib. I know when death comes to my siblings. And I see death coming to the Prophet ﷺ. So let's ask him before he dies. So he would tell the companions that you are the Khalifa after him. Ali radiallahu anhu was wise. He told him, no. If I ask him and he refuses to give it to me, people will never give it to us. And that's what happened. He didn't ask him. Because the Prophet ﷺ indicated that the Khalifa after him is Abu Bakr. And this was like ijma'. That's where the rift started between Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the Shia. Because to them, Ali radiallahu anhu is the legitimate heir of the Khilafah. Why? Just because he's the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ. Just because the virtues that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned for Ali, which we never cancel. But remember, you have to take those virtues along with the other virtues of the other companions. There is no contradiction. So, the Prophet ﷺ died. Abu Bakr radiallahu anh heard that the Ansar are gathered to give the bay'ah to one of them. So immediately Abu Bakr and Umar, they rushed to catch up with the meeting of the Ansar, because they didn't want it to happen and then it will be too late. At that time, what was going on? Ali radiallahu anh, Al-Abbas radiallahu anh, and the other relatives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were busy with the burial of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And suddenly he finds that the bay'ah was given, the pledge was given to Abu Bakr. So he felt something, and that's normal. But he never objected. For the break. Yeah. I thought 9:20. So Ali radiallahu an felt that this could have waited. But Abu Bakr radiallahu an felt that this cannot wait. This was one of the differences among the companions. But immediately they moved on. And Ali radiallahu an gave the pledge of allegiance to Abu Bakr radiallahu an, but it wasn't public. Why it wasn't public? There was another issue. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, Fatima radiallahu anha, she came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. You are now the Khalifa and I want my share of the inheritance from my father. Why? Because she was the only daughter. What happened to the other children of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? All of them passed away. All of them died. She is the only one. Actually, before the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sick, Fatima radiallahu anha, she entered visiting her father, and Aisha radiallahu anha, she was observing that. So she saw Fatima crying after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her something. She was crying. Then after that she was smiling. So Aisha was shocked. What is that? She went and she asked her, what did the Prophet ﷺ tell you? She said, I wouldn't reveal the secret of what the Prophet ﷺ said. Once the Prophet ﷺ died, she told her, I ask you by Allah to tell me what the Prophet ﷺ told you. So she told her, I am going to follow him very soon, which did happen in 6 months. That's what made me happy. But before that, what made me cry is what the Prophet ﷺ said, that he's going to die. Because he told her, Jibreel came to him every Ramadan once. And he came to him this Ramadan twice. And that is only because this seems to be the last year for him, which did happen. So, Fatima radiallahu anha, she came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anha, asking him the inheritance. Abu Bakr radiallahu anh told her, there is no inheritance for you. That's the ruling. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, نَحْنُ مَعَاشِرَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ لَا نُورَثْ مَا تَرَكْنَاهُ صَدَقَ. We messengers, we don't leave inheritance. Whatever we leave is charity. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left a lot of money, properties, assets, but all of that is for charity. Anytime in the Quran, Allah azza wa jal mentions about inheritance of prophets, it means prophethood. Like in Surah Maryam, يَرِثُنِي وَيَرِثُ مِنْ آلِ يَعْقُوبُ وَاجْعَلْهُ رَبِّ رَضِيًّا. Zakaria, this is the dua of Zakaria. Zakaria alayhi salam was asking Allah for an heir, not an heir to inherit dunya. No, he was asking Allah for an heir to inherit prophethood. which Allah gave Yahya, the son of Zakaria. وَوَرِثَ سُلَيْمَانُ دَاوُودُ Sulaiman inherited Dawood. Also the same thing. What did Sulaiman inherit from Dawood? He was the son of Dawood. He inherited prophethood. So, Fatima radiallahu anha, she was upset. She felt that this was her right and Abu Bakr did not give her. But the companions knew that Abu Bakr radiallahu anha was telling her the truth. He didn't make up that. Until Fatima radiallahu anha died, 6 months after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Only then Ali radiallahu anha came publicly telling the people that first thing, he wasn't very happy with how the bay'ah was done. It was too quick when they were busy burying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while the companions are gathered to choose someone. Then because of his wife, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't want to upset her, so he didn't do anything. Now he says in front of everyone, Abu Bakr is the Khalifa and I am giving him the pledge of allegiance. He is Khalifa of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What happened when Abu Bakr heard that? He cried. He said, by Allah, the relatives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are more lovelier to me to join their kinship than my own family. And the right of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is more worthy to be fulfilled than the right of anyone else. So nothing happened. Why I'm saying this? Because again, some people don't understand that we Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we love the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We believe that they are of the best human beings, but we put them in their place. They are not better than the other companions. They have unique qualities. No one can cancel that. But Abu Bakr radiallahu an is better. Umar radiallahu an is better. And Uthman radiallahu an is better. That is the agreement of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Now, one more thing also. Going back to being a human being and being just who you are. Because when we talk about those great leaders, those heroes, those revivers of the Ummah, Ali radiallahu an, one time, he was planning to marry another woman. So Fatima radiallahu anha heard about that. And she came and she told her father. Who did Ali radiallahu anha choose? The daughter of Abu Jahl. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called on people and spoke on the minbar and he said, I do not forbid the halal or make the halal haram. But I will not let people say the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the daughter of the enemy of Allah are gathered together under one roof. If Ali wants to marry another woman, he can do so. But he has to divorce Fatima. And scholars talked about that. They said that as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has unique qualities where his sleeping does not invalidate wudu, and he is allowed to marry more than four women at one time, there are also unique qualities for his family. And this is one of them. He didn't forbid Ali radiallahu anhu from marrying, but not that woman in particular. And not along with Fatima radiallahu anhu. Many times the Shia, they say, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu made Fatima upset. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed the one who makes Fatima upset. But actually this dua came because of what Ali wanted to do. That's what they don't understand. The reason why the Prophet ﷺ said, Fatima bad'atun minni, Fatima is part of me. Whatever makes her angry would make me angry. The reason for that is what Ali radiallahu anhu wanted to do. And we mentioned that not as a way to talk bad about Ali. Rather, actually this is a virtue for Ali radiallahu anhu. Why? Because when he heard that, immediately he forgot about the issue altogether. He knew what the Prophet ﷺ meant. And he knew that whenever his wife is angry, this would affect the Prophet ﷺ. And in Islam, making the Prophet ﷺ angry is not just a sin, it is kufr. So he avoided that altogether. So these are just some glimpses of the life of Ali radiallahu anh at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and immediately after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This what I wanted to share with you in the first part. Then the next part, inshallah, I will be talking about the other aspects and what happened later at the time of the companions Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman, and then at his time as Khalifa radiallahu anhu. قل قولي هذا واستغفر الله. بسم الله. Okay, continuing inshallah with the second part of this talk about Ali radiallahu anhu and his life after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and at the time of the Khulafa. As I said before the break, Ali radiallahu an didn't say this was our right and therefore the companions took it from us and therefore I'm not going to participate in anything. No, actually I told you earlier that Ali radiallahu an had 14 sons. Of those 14, there is Umar ibn Ali. And before him, there was Uthman ibn Ali. And before him, there is Abu Bakr ibn Ali. Would you name your child with someone that you hate? So, this is important to mention when we prove that Ali radiallahu anhu did not have any issue with the other companions. Fast forward until the time of the Khilafah of Uthman radiallahu anhu. Why? Because this is critical. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah says, whoever thought that Ali radiallahu anhu is better than Uthman radiallahu anhu, he is more misguided than the donkey of his family. At their time, they didn't have cars like now. They had either donkeys or horses or camels to ride. So he said that whoever preferred Ali radiallahu an over Uthman radiallahu an is worse than the donkey. Why? Because when Umar radiallahu an was stabbed and he was martyred, there were 6 companions from the ones that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, they are of the ones given glad tidings of Jannah. So, 2 of them gave their vote to another 2. Talha radiallahu an, he gave his vote to Uthman. Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiallahu an gave his vote to Ali radiallahu an. Sa'd and Abdurrahman bin Auf, they are the 2 ones who are left. Sa'd radiallahu an stepped down. So Abdurrahman bin Auf came to both. Now who are left? Only Uthman and Ali. He said, I am willing to also step down and let one of you become the Khalifa as long as you accept the result of what people choose. Do you accept that? So they both accepted. And this was the first free election the entire world witnessed. The West, when they tried to teach us democracy or free election, they don't know what they're talking about. The first time in the world this happens in history, this was in Islam. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anh says, I knocked on the doors of the people of Medina, of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, one by one, to cast the votes. And the result was that all of them unanimously chose Uthman radiallahu anhu. This was the choice of the Muslims. Now again, this does not cancel any virtue for Ali radiallahu anhu, but it was the choice of the Ummah. It was the choice of the Muslims. So that's why I said at the beginning, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu comes first, then Umar radiallahu anhu, then Uthman and then Ali. There is no disagreement. But the Shia now and the other deviant sects, they try and say, no, there was a rigged election or there was a right of the family of the Prophet ﷺ that was taken from them, or this, all that is nonsense, it's not true. It doesn't even make sense. How would Ali radiallahu anhu, the brave, you believe that he is powerful, he is strong, how would Ali radiallahu anhu accept injustice? You wouldn't accept injustice and you would speak aloud and you would say, this is not right. And Ali radiallahu anhu, the one who accepted Islam first, would see injustice and would just accept it, would just keep quiet. You know what they say? He was afraid. They were a lot and he was only one. So they could kill him. Okay? Why then when he became the Khalifa didn't announce that? Didn't say, now the right came back to us where it should belong. Because unfortunately for us, when we say the principles of Islam, when you say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah and Iqamatu Salah and Ita'u Zakah, for them the principles is the Khilafah, the Imamah. That's why they are called Al-Shia Al-Imamiyya. You have to believe in the Imams. And if you don't believe in them, you're not a believer. They rely on emotions, not on facts. Now, I will be talking later about the end of the life of Ali radiallahu anhu. But this is just a simple question. Do you know when Ali radiallahu anhu died? Do you know when Ali radiallahu anhu died? Who knows? What's the date? Anyone? Okay. Who knows when Al-Husayn, the son of Ali radiallahu anhu, died? Do you know? Al-Husayn, the son of Ali radiallahu anhu, do you know when he died? Huh? Muharram, Ashura. Why do we know that? Because the Shia make a big deal about it, right? They make a big deal about the son of Ali radiallahu anhu, who's not better than his father. Again, who's better? Al-Husayn ibn Ali radiallahu anhuma or Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu? Who's better? There is no question. Ali radiallahu anhu is better. But because of the, because it was tragedy and he was martyred. Yeah, even Ali radiallahu anhu was martyred. He was stabbed by the Khawarij on the 17th of Ramadan. But he died later, 3 days later, on the 21st of Ramadan. Ali radiallahu anhu died because of the wounds of the stabbing on the 21st of Ramadan. You ask the Shia, many of them don't even know that. And they say, we love the family of the Prophet ﷺ. They are liars. So, when you talk about Ali radiallahu anhu, you have to remember, there are many narrations that are not true. We do believe that Ali radiallahu anhu is of the best companions, but we only believe in what was authentic. Whatever is exaggerated, whatever has no basis, we don't believe in it. That's why, especially when it comes to Ali radiallahu anhu and the family of the Prophet ﷺ in general, you have to be careful. Because for the Shia, they have no problem fabricating narrations as long as they go this way. The way of supporting, as they claim, the family of the Prophet ﷺ. The family of the Prophet ﷺ is not only Ali radiallahu anhu and his children. There is Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu and Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma and the other family members. Even the sons of Ali radiallahu anhu, all the imams are from the children of Al-Husayn. Shia al-Imamiyya, the most common Shia in our time, they believe in 12 imams. Ali radiallahu anhu, Al-Hasan, and then Al-Husayn, and all of them the children of Al-Husayn. None of them from the children of Al-Hasan. Why? Because Al-Hasan radiallahu anhu stepped down willingly to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu for the sake of the unity. And that year was called Amul Jama'ah, when Muslims came back together. So, how could he step down if it was part of Tawheed, as they claim? So, I try to avoid a lot of negativity because again, we talk about Ali radiallahu anhu from our perspective, Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, from what was authentic. A lot of narrations narrated, they have no basis, no proof. They mention them, there is no need to talk about them. The division, the rift started right after the killing of Uthman radiallahu anhu. When Uthman radiallahu anhu was killed on the hands of the Khawarij, and they almost occupied Medina, and the companions were in shock, then it was like almost a must to have someone from the companions. So they came and they chose Ali radiallahu anhu. And no one disagreed. Ali radiallahu anhu is the Khalifa. But the difference was, what do we do with the killers? The killers who killed Uthman radiallahu anhu and attacked Medina and violated the sanctuary of Medina. What do we do with them? So a party of the companions, they thought that those people, they have to be prosecuted and they have to be punished on the spot. Ali radiallahu anhu was on the opinion that we have to wait, because those people, they are backed by their tribes. And now they are the ones who caused this. We attack them, even it will be more chaotic. So we need to wait. And that was what led to the division until our time, where we see people who call themselves Shia and they are lying. Because what happened? Ali radiallahu anhu, people chose him as the Khalifa in Medina. Some of the companions felt that Ali radiallahu anhu should actively chase those killers and punish them, including Talha ibn Ubaidillah, Zubair ibn al-Awwam, and Aisha radiallahu anhum. All of them, they were on the opinion that we should seek justice for Uthman radiallahu anhu. That was backed by Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, who was the governor of Ash-Sham in Damascus. So the situation in Medina was very stressed, and it was, the tension was high. So on top of that, the news came that Talha, Az-Zubair, and Aisha radiallahu anhum, all of them left. So Ali radiallahu anhu had to leave. He left. And because of his departure, the capital of the Khilafah also moved from Medina, went to Al-Iraq, to Al-Kufa. That's where Ali radiallahu anhu settled. This was in year 36. And year 36 witnessed one tragedy that led to the killing of 10,000 Muslims. Because of the Khawarij, the ones who killed Uthman, a group with Ali radiallahu anhu and a group of Talha, Az-Zubair, and Aisha radiallahu anhu, they faced one another. And their intention was not at all to fight. Rather, it was to amend the disagreement. So from each group, there were people who participated in the killing of Uthman radiallahu anhu. So they knew that if everything was settled and they all agreed on peace, they will be exposed. So they don't want that. So they agreed to attack one another. So each group will say that you attacked us, so there will be fighting. And that's exactly what happened in what was known later as the Battle of the Camel, Mawqi'at al-Jamal. Why the camel? The camel that was carrying Aisha radiallahu anha. Because the group of the Khawarij in the army of Ali radiallahu anha, they said, target the camel. When you target the camel, they will be defeated. And that's what happened. So Aisha radiallahu anha had to go back to Medina. Talha, Az-Zubair radiallahu anhuma, they were killed. It was a tragedy. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that this will happen. It started with one simple thing. They wanted to force Uthman radiallahu anhu to step down. Okay, why don't you step down? For the sake of saving the Muslim blood. Actually, it was very easy on Uthman radiallahu anhu to do that. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the one who told him, "O Uthman, if Allah gave you a shirt to wear, never take it off. If people told you to take it off, never do it." So he interpreted it, the khilafah. If Allah gave you the khilafah and people came to tell you step down, never step down. And that's what happened. A year later, in year 37, when the news came to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, Muawiyah was very upset. He felt that Ali radiallahu anhu is giving shelter and safe haven to the killers of Uthman radiallahu anhu. While Ali radiallahu anhu is saying, just give me some time. Give me some time until things are settled and then we will catch them one by one. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said no. And this was not only his opinion, this was the opinion of the people of Asham also. Because you have to understand, there are narrations that say that Muawiyah radiallahu anhu commanded people to curse Ali on the minbar. All that is not true. This has no authentic narration. So be careful whenever you hear about these news. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, whenever this part of history is mentioned, he would always say, this is a time that Allah Azza wa Jal saved us by not participating in our swords. Saved us from shedding the blood of Muslims. So we should save our tongues as well from attacking any of the companions. They are all the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some of them are better than the others, like Abu Bakr radiallahu an, Umar radiallahu an, and Uthman radiallahu an. They are all better than Ali. Ali radiallahu an is better than Muawiyah. There is no question. That's the agreement of Al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. But other than that, anything, because one man, just one man from the Shia, he narrated 95 narrations, Abu Mikhnaf, and all of them attacking the companions. And unfortunately, you would be sitting in a masjid where there is an event also in some Muslim countries, and you hear someone who's well known and people are in thousands, and he's narrating from those narrations. You would read a book for someone in our time who is a teacher or giving lectures in university about Islamic history, and he would rely sometimes on such narrations. So I'm trying to raise your awareness. I'm trying to remind you, my brothers and sisters, that when we read our history, those are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, they are human beings. There is no question. But at the same time, Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. We can say that we are pleased with Allah, but we can never say that Allah is pleased with us. We have no proof. We hope that Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with us. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه لقد رضي الله عن المؤمنين إذ يبايعونك تحت الشجرة. Indeed, Allah is certainly pleased with the believers when they give you the pledge of allegiance under the tree. What tree? The tree of Hudaybiyah. How many companions are there? 1,500, including this event was because of Uthman رضي الله عنه. So how could it be possible that later Uthman radiallahu anhu is accused of something bad? How could it be possible? It just doesn't make sense. Someone says, what's the big deal? Allah Azza wa Jal said He is pleased with them and then He became displeased. No. When Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with someone, that's it. Unlike us, today I'm pleased with you. I don't know what will happen tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow I'm not pleased with you. I don't know the unseen. We change, we are human beings. We might be happy with one another, then we might be unhappy, but not the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Allah knows the unseen. Once Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with someone, that's it. Once Allah says, radiyallahu anhum, that's it. And that's why we say about the companions, radiyallahu anhum. So, any narration or any event where you read there is a mentioning of one of the companions in negativity. No. They are human beings, yes. They make mistakes, yes. But they are far better than every single one of us. There is no question about that. And the Prophet ﷺ warned us against attacking the companions. So, you might read some narrations. You might read some events. Oh, this is doubtful or this is confusing. Actually, in the break, the brother told me if you can talk about what Umar radiallahu anh said before the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and clear the confusion. There is no confusion, but you just need to know what happened, because some people will say also, why Abu Bakr radiallahu anh did not witness the burial of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Someone you love, someone you care about very much, someone you consider family, your in-law, you wouldn't attend his funeral? It's a simple question, yes or no? Of course. Abu Bakr didn't witness the funeral of the Prophet ﷺ. Yes. Do you understand why before you speak? That's what we need to realize. So when you read the history, especially that part, you need to be clear. You need to be clever. Analyze what is said. Once you clarify it, because they depend on emotions only. Once you clarify it, you rely on knowledge, on proof. That's it. Everything is clear. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was in a position where either he attends with the Ansar or he leaves them, they choose the Khalifa and everything will be ruined. That's the only reason why he was absent from the funeral. Because you cannot be at two places at the same time. He had to make a quick decision. He heard that the Ansar are gathered to give the bay'ah. And once the bay'ah is given, that's it. That's why when he went there, they said, we chose one. He said, no, you cannot. They said, we are the ones who gave shelter to the Prophet ﷺ. He said, yes, and your virtue is kept. No one denies that. But the Arab, the Muslims, don't submit to a ruler other than Quraysh. Because this is what the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-A'imma min Quraysh. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anh quoted that, all the Ansar remembered that and they agreed. So it is about knowledge. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also before his death, he said, write for me something. Umar radiallahu anh said, there is no need. So the Shia say, Umar radiallahu anh played a game and prevented the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from writing something. No. Umar radiallahu anh saw that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very tired. He is battling death. So there is no need to write anything. And that's why he said, Hasbuna kitabullah, the book of Allah is enough. Actually, if anything, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have written that Abu Bakr radiallahu anh is the Khalifa. Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they are in agreement that there was an indirect Khilafah for Abu Bakr. A woman came to the Prophet ﷺ asking him something. This was the last year of the life of the Prophet ﷺ. So she asked him something and he answered her. She told him, I'm coming later. What if I don't find you? He told her, you will find Abu Bakr. When the Prophet ﷺ was very sick, he told Abu Bakr to lead the Muslims. So Aisha radiallahu anha didn't want that. Anyone else would be happy. My father will become the imam of the prayer. When Muslims are used to the Prophet ﷺ, now it is my father. But Aisha radiallahu anha didn't want that. She said that people would feel bad that Abu Bakr is the one now when they are used to the Prophet ﷺ. So she told the Prophet ﷺ, O Messenger of Allah, Abu Bakr is a weak man. He cries a lot. Choose someone else. And the Prophet ﷺ was upset. He said, Ya'ba Allah wal mu'minun illa Abu Bakr. Allah refuses and the companions, the believers, except Abu Bakr. So all these are indications. Even Umar radiallahu anhu said, when he told the Ansar, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam approved Abu Bakr for our religion, for our deen. Wouldn't we approve him for our dunya? Because at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Khulafa, there was no separation between deen and dunya. Only now, when you say imam, it's only imam for prayer. That's it, it's for religious job. But in the past, the leader is a leader for everything. So why I'm saying this? Because again, there is a lot of distortion, unfortunately. And yes, some Muslims are confused. Because some Muslims ask them questions, they don't know what to say. And some non-Muslims also read some terrible news and they say, look, you say your religion is the religion of peace, your religion is the religion of unity, and look what happened. Yes, there was a division. And yes, the Prophet ﷺ warned us against it. But do you know the reason behind it? None of them was looking for dunya. No. It was a difference about the religion. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he never refused to give the bay'ah to Ali radiallahu anhu. But he wanted first to avenge the killing of Uthman radiallahu anhu. Those killers, they have to be punished. That's all. He never challenged Ali radiallahu anhu. He knew, he acknowledged that Ali radiallahu anhu is the legitimate Khalifa after Uthman radiallahu anhu. But first, those people need to be held accountable. And that's what led to the tragic incident, the Battle of Siffin, in year 37. 1 year after the Battle of the Camel, the army from Asham came and the army of Ali from Iraq came. And they met in Siffin. The area is called Siffin. That was one of the most difficult days of Ali radiallahu anhu. Because you see Muslims are fighting and you just cannot help it. You want them to be united. And you look back the days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when you were fighting the kuffar, when you were the second one in Islam after the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you were the husband of the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and now you are talking to people who are accusing you of kufr. Because what happened after Siffin, when Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and the followers of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu raised the Quran and said, let's go back to the Quran, let's arbitrate, some group among Ali radiallahu anhu, they said, how could you arbitrate in the book of Allah? إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ, judgment only belongs to Allah, you apostated. That's what they said to Ali radiallahu anhu. So Ali radiallahu anhu had to deal with people, they thought that he is not legitimate Khalifa. They are talking about the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the husband of the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was the tragedy. So those people, they isolated themselves, the Khawarij, the first extremists as a group, Al-Haruriyah, that's how they were called first, until they raised arms and fought Muslims, and the Ali radiallahu anhu had to fight them in the Battle of An-Nahrawan. From that time until now, we still see the consequences. Al-Qaeda, ISIS, whatever they call themselves, you see they only focused on what? Fighting Muslims, killing Muslims. What about the kuffar? And that's what happened at the time of Ali radiallahu anhu. The Khawarij, they agreed to fight the Muslims. They looked at the leaders at that time, Ali radiallahu an, Muawiyah radiallahu an, and Amr ibn al-As radiallahu an. Ali was in Iraq. Muawiyah was in Asham. Amr ibn al-As was in Egypt. So they said, we have to kill them at the same time. There was no internet to coordinate. There was no social media. So they agreed on a day. It was the 17th of Ramadan. So Abdurrahman ibn Muljim, he went to kill Ali radiallahu anhu. And he was successful in stabbing him. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was stabbed, but he survived. He wasn't killed. Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, that day, the 17th, when he was supposed to pray, he was sick, so he didn't come. And Allah saved him as well. The tragedy is that the killer of Ali radiallahu anhu, what did the Khawarij say about him? Ya darbatan min taqiyin ma arada biha illa ibtigha'an min dhil arshi ridwana inni la adhkuruhu hinan fa ahsibuhu khayra albariyati inda Allahi mizana. The Khawarij, the extremists, they said that the killer of Ali radiallahu anhu is one of the best people on earth because he killed Ali, the kafir, they consider him. That's the kind of people that Ali radiallahu anhu had to deal with at the end of his life. And he knew, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that your life will end by being killed. He knew that. He was just waiting for it. Just imagine when you count the days on earth, when you feel that life is not worth it anymore, when you are wishing for death anytime. He started as the first one to accept Islam from the youth, and he waited for death to come until Abdurrahman ibn Muljim stabbed him. So he told Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, he told them, if Allah Azza wa Jal saved me, I will deal with him. But if Allah Azza wa Jal decreed that I'm going to die, you seek the capital punishment for my killer. And when he survived for 3 days before he died, Abdurrahman ibn Muljim was brought to him and he asked him, what did you do? Why did we do this? He told him, I have been sharpening my blade for 40 days. This is someone who believes that what he's doing is something good. I have been sharpening my blade for 40 days. So he told him, you will be killed with that blade, with yours. So this is just, it's time. This is how the life of Ali radiallahu anhu ended. And what I like to say, that we may not be able to control how our life began, but we definitely choose how to live our life. Ali radiallahu anhu tried his best every single day to live according to what Allah Azza wa Jal commanded, according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was reported from Ali radiallahu anhu that he said, Wallahi, by Allah, if I knew that today is my last day on earth, this would not cause me to add anything to my deeds. Imagine being certain, not just doubts, being certain that this is your last night. Tomorrow you will not be here. What would you do? What would you do? You try to catch up. Ali radiallahu anhu said, Wallahi, if I am certain that today is my last day, this would not make me change anything of what I'm doing. Just imagine reaching that high level of iman, that connection with Allah Azza wa Jal. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our iman, and we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us the ability to follow the examples of those great heroes of Islam. قولوا قولي هذا والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى صحبه أجمعين جزاكم الله خيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Yeah. Would you like to read them yourself or should I read them to you?
It's up to you. Whatever. What do you do usually? So.
Okay. I think so. It would be best if you read them because we just have one mic.
Yeah. Okay. Salam, Sheikh. May Allah bless you. Ameen. And bless you all. Can you describe Ali ibn Abi Talib physical descriptions? We long to visualize our heroes in Islam, and such descriptions will heighten our love and commitment. I actually disagree with that. Our love for our heroes is not by trying to see the image. There is a wisdom behind that. Even in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal did not give names. He gave descriptions. Descriptions of what? Of actions. Because the physical description, this is something we don't have any control over. So you asked about Ali's description radiallahu anhu, and they said that he was a strong man physically, and he was similar to the stature of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but little bit shorter, with his eyes bigger, and he had a belly. That's part of the description they described Ali radiallahu anhu. But again, however the description was, this is something you will not be asked about. This is something you have no control over. What you do have control over, the actions. And that's why we try to focus on the actions. This is what we can change. But your physical description, how Allah Azza wa Jal, again, I understand that we always try to put an image to the person that we are talking about. But there is a wisdom behind that. Why Allah Azza wa Jal hid that from us? Why don't we have an image for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Like the Christians, they have an image for Isa Alayhi Salam. And most of the time they portray him like blonde man with colored eyes. And all that is not true. So, you asked about a physical description I gave you, but we believe that it's better always to focus on what we can follow, what we can change, the actions. Can you clarify some conceptions of Shia about Ali radiallahu anhu? I did clarify some of the misconceptions because they elevate him above his rank, and we believe that he is of the best companions, but that's it. We don't believe that he knows the unseen, because the Shia, they have a book equivalent to Sahih al-Bukhari called Al-Usul Min Al-Kafi. The book Al-Kafi is equivalent to Sahih al-Bukhari for us. There is a chapter in that book, they say, Bab, that's the chapter. Al-A'imma, the Imams, that I told you about briefly, the 12 Imams, starting with Ali. Al-A'immatu ya'lamun, ma kan wa ma yakun. The Imams, they believe that they know the unseen, what happened in the past and what will happen in the future. They believe in the infallibility of the Imams. And we don't believe in that. We believe that they are human beings. And the first Imams, they are Imams also for Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ali radiallahu an, Al-Hasan, Al-Husayn, Ali, the son of Al-Husayn, and the rest, all of them, yes, they are great Imams, but they are human beings. They are not even companions. So the superheroes that they mention, that Ali radiallahu anhu carried one time a door that 400 people couldn't carry it, all that is not true. So there is actually a lot to clarify, but these are just few things. I watched YouTube lectures about Ali radiallahu anhu's strength. Like in one time, he slammed one very big door, only 10 people can lift. That's good, 10 people is much less than 400 people. So can any human being be this strong? And Sahaba has mu'jiza. Okay, we don't call what the Sahaba have as mu'jiza. We call it karama. What's the difference? The mu'jiza comes handy whenever the Prophet wants it, while the karama, it just happens from Allah. You don't have control over it. So the karamat, yes, some of the companions, they did have some karamat. But again, as I told you before, anytime you hear something, some exaggeration, you have to raise the red flag and you just ask, is this really true? What's the basis for that? Some companions, yes, they did have some strong features. Ali radiallahu anhu was one of them. He was very strong. But to the extent that he is stronger than 10 people or more, it depends. If they are 10 weak people, yeah, it could be. But 10 strong people, no. Khalid radiallahu anhu, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that he is the brandished sword of Allah, Sayfullah al-Maslul. Khalid radiallahu anhu used to fight with two swords. Only two companions did that. Ali radiallahu anhu was not one of them. So yes, Ali radiallahu anhu was strong, he was powerful, but not to the extent where the Shia mentioned. Who's the fastest companion? Yeah, the fastest companion, running fast. Do you know? Salama ibn al-Akwa radiallahu anhu, very good. How fast was he? In our time, what is the world record?
Yeah.
Yes. Salama radiallahu an would beat Usain Bolt by 2 seconds. His speed was equivalent to the speed of camels. This is an authentic hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the companions, whoever is able to catch al-Uraniyin, those who killed the guard, they became sick and killed the guard of the livestock of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and took the camels. So Salama radhiyallahu anhu said, I chased them and I was able to retrieve the camels one by one. That's how fast he was. So again, there are some powers for the companions, some karamat, but not to the exaggeration, not to the extent where the Shia mention. You need to verify that. So you hear a lot, true. How should we deal with a teacher who is talking bad about the companions? Most probably both based on the wrong narrations. As I said, Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with them. So Allah Azza wa Jal already said His word. Who are you to come and criticize them? Now, on the other hand, we do say that they are human beings. They are not infallible. They are not messengers of Allah. So how to deal with a teacher like that? You just quote the ayah, radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu. You just quote the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about his companions and what he said about them. You mention that and then you ask him simply, who are you compared to them? What did you do? Because criticism is easy. Now sitting relaxed and judging people is very easy. But doing something, that's really the challenge. Yeah, so that's about it. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.